I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, the Mocha Moms talk sex. In the city, that is. The moms dug out their Manolos to check out the weekend box office smash. Their thoughts on what the film says about motherhood and friendship, and that's a little later. But first, we want to talk about something that most of us who live in cities see every day, but hardly ever talk about, at least not with people very different from ourselves. It's gentrification, when more affluent people move into previously lower-income neighborhoods. There are lots of people to cheer on the new stores, the renovations, the newly responsive city officials, but not everybody welcomes the changes. These changing neighborhoods sometimes send property values through the roof, pushing homes and even businesses out of the reach of the people who've been there. It's not easy to talk about for the people who move in or the people who get pushed out. But in Portland, Oregon, there's a program to try to make the conversation happen. It's called the Portland Restorative Listening Project, a series of neighborhood meetings for people to discuss how gentrification has affected their lives. We're going to hear from two of the participants in these conversations in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to be joined by the program's organizers. Judith Mowry works for the Portland Office of Neighborhood Involvement, which funds the project. Also with us is John Kanda. He's a community leader in Northeast Portland, which is home to most of the city's African-American population. They're all at the studios of Oregon Public Broadcasting. Welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle.
Judith, can I start with you? How did you conceive of this idea? How did this happen?
You know, it happened through a whole life's journey. But 2 years ago, I was with a nonprofit that was doing neighbor-to-neighbor mediation as the director of mediation services. And I began to see more and more conflicts come before us between newer white neighbors and people who had traditionally lived in the community who were black. And as I sat in on these mediations and worked with them, I noticed the same kind of patterns of confusion, cultural disconnect, ways in which people who were very, and I believe this, well-intentioned, who felt like they valued the diversity, but they'd never lived in any of it. And they were coming in with some behavior and some thinking that was very clear to the people in the community who were black, but was unclear to them, and that was harmful. I would talk to people in the black community and say, you know, what would get you excited about having a conversation about this? And they'd say, you know, I'm really tired of telling my story and having it dismissed or minimized or put in a context where it makes somebody else feel better rather than actually is my story and really heard. And I would talk to white people and say, you know, what would help make you more curious about this, being willing to come into a dialogue? And one of the things I heard repeatedly was, I'm really afraid of making a mistake. I'm afraid I'm going to come in and I'm going to say the wrong thing and I'll get called a racist. Interestingly enough, even more often by other white progressives in the room.
This may be a stupid question, but why not just have a potluck?
Well, I think we have to acknowledge harm before we can start building the relationship, because we need to have a real relationship. The thing I've heard from people of color is, you know, if you want a relationship with me, start there. Build a relationship, acknowledge the broken trust, own your part of it, come forward with a willingness to start to change that.
John, what isn't it for you? What are you hoping to get out of these meetings?
Though I'm concerned about how we all are being treated and how we treat each other, another perspective is that we talked about in a couple of the forums that we've had so far has been the role of the black church in the community. When new folks, white people in particular, have moved into what we have known as predominantly the hub of the black community, how they respond or not to those traditional black churches in the community. And I was alarmed to hear some of the comments from people, newcomers to the community, about problems that they were considering they had with the churches, like parking and noise issues and disrespect from churchgoers, when in actuality, the church, at least in my community, I am a black man born and raised in this small community of Portland. I can't tell you all of the things that being a part of a church has done for me.
I'm curious about how you get people to want to have these conversations, because you can easily see where everybody moves into a situation or is in a situation where they already think they're fine. If you've moved into a neighborhood and you've fixed up your house and you've spent a lot of time doing it, you think, what's the problem here? I'm just here to, you know, fix up my house and do my thing and hopefully, you know, bring a Starbucks here and it's all going to be good. And if you're a person who's already lived there, you think, I've stood here through good times and bad times. And how do you get people to leave their corner when everybody feels they're already fine. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And one of the things that is true and wonderful is that we don't live in a community where everyone is just fine about it. Not all white people are just fine about it. You know, what we do is we say, you're not someone who intentionally has harmed this other community. And part of the reason that it's happening is because we so don't understand each other. You know, for white people, we are given so little education. There's been such a separation. We know so little about black history. We know so little about black culture. And I think for a lot of really well-intentioned people who say, I'm excited to live in a diverse neighborhood, but they move into a diverse neighborhood and find out, I have some anxiety around living around people of color. And those two things don't make sense to them. So we want to offer a place where we can say, let's come together, learn some stuff about what this community is. You have moved in to become a part of. And let's think about how you think of the world, the assumptions you have made that have led you to your conclusions about what makes a neighborhood good.
John, what's your role in this? Because I could see it from another perspective where people would say, look, I've been here. You know, I'll bring you a pound cake, but, you know, but that's about it.
Absolutely. The example, and I have many, but I'll start with my parents who, for example, moved to Portland from Vicksburg, Mississippi in about 1962. My mother cleaned rooms and made beds and did laundry and walked just about everywhere to get back and forth because my father was working. But I also watched them try to go to bank after bank after bank and get loans for renovation of their properties. And they were denied. As the neighborhood and the demographics began to change, I watched others, whites, come into the neighborhoods, and suddenly they had the shiniest and the brightest house on the block. And when asked, they would talk about how easy it was to gain affordable loans from some of the same organizations that my parents and others had tried. And so
is the purpose of the conversation to make them feel guilty about that?
Not at all. So, we're not trying to feel guilty. I mean, my truth is just my truth. And we're not pointing the finger. We're not blaming people. We're simply inviting all of those folks who will to come to the table to have this conversation.
What do you say to those who argue that it's fine to have these conversations, but it's not going to change the fact that you have had a generation of African-Americans, other people of color, who haven't had access to the same economic opportunities and start out at a disadvantage? And then when you meet in a place that has now become desirable, there isn't any inequality there that causes hurt. It doesn't change the past. What do you say to people who say, well, that's fine. It's not going to change the reality that, you know, my dad couldn't get that loan. And if he did get that loan, he had to fight to get into this neighborhood that you can just stroll into.
Yes. We keep talking. And we know we can't change the past, but we can change the future to walk forward together because we're better together.